On Friday, we had the funeral for our Billy Joe's sister, Billy Ray. And Billy Ray had passed away just about a week ago, a little over a week ago. Loved Jesus, loved her family, and it was a tremendous service. But it just reminded me again of the things that we go through in life and how much we depend upon a God who loves us and cares for us. Amen? I mean, I don't know. More and more people, I don't know if I should say more and more. As a pastor, I know so many individuals' lives, things that people are going through. I don't know whether it's a physical ailment. We've had a lot of people have had hip surgery, knee surgery. Some need brain surgery. Some need, you know what that was a joke. I'm sorry. We've had people in accidents. We've had people who have been ill for a long time, sick for a long time. So many of you in our church family are dealing with some type of a form of cancer or something that you've gone through in that way with a family member. There's so much that's going on that I just, sometimes it gets a little overwhelming. When I sit in my office and I just begin to think about who's doing what and where is it's happening and all these different scenarios, it's overwhelming at times. I couldn't sleep the other night back about a week ago. I mean, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't know why the Lord doesn't take a break between 2 and 4 in the morning. Do you have that problem? He seems to be most active. He's like, I don't know what he does between 2 and 4. I mean, you know, it's 2 and 4. On the other side of the earth, it's sun's up. Everything's fine. But for me, wide awake, talking to the Lord. And it's just, he'd pray for this person. Think about this person. Here's what's this going on. And so my brain is just going a million miles an hour praying for people. Praying for you, those of you that I know personally, what you're going through, and it can be overwhelming. I mean, and yet God's faithful to us, isn't He? He takes us through these things, and He's there for us in our greatest times of need. I know that Cindy McCormick's been going through some incredible health issues and had to have some things done with kidney stones. Stupidest things, kidney stones, huh? Don't you just love kidney stones? You already had children once, and now you haven't had kids again. Kidney stones is man's version of childbirth. And so for a lady to have that again, you know, congratulations on the child you just delivered last week. It's terrible, isn't it? It's terrible. And just little things that are happening to so many of us that I don't know. As I read John chapter 10 and this story about Jesus, and it's a continuation of him trying to get people to understand who he is, and this concept of entering into a relationship with him in what we would call the kingdom. How do I become a part of God's kingdom? How do I blend into this thing? We know it in Paul's teaching as the family of God. And when it comes to the family of God, who's the head of that family? We know it's Christ. But when Jesus first begins his incredible ministry, he's trying to get people to understand who he is and the relationship that he wants to have with them. Now, I read to you Psalm 23, verse 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Psalm 23, one of my favorite. I wrote a book on it. If you'd love to read some concepts about the 23rd Psalm, my book's out there. You can read on it. I love the 23rd Psalm. And taught it years ago. We kind of got in depth on it, but I'm always just reminded that Israel came out of a nomadic background, and a lot of them would have sheep, and that was their mainstay. Their clothing from it, their livelihood came out of sheep, and so for them a shepherd was important, and they knew that in the Old Testament, so many times in all the books of the Old Testament, God was this God who was going to love them, and he wanted to be a part of their lives, and he wanted to care about every individual need that they had. And so the phraseology would use, I want to be your shepherd. I want to be the one that guides you. See, the difference in our world today, we teach a lot about leadership and follow the leader, follow the leader. And sometimes, and you might even have one of these kind of jobs, you have a leader who's a pusher. He pushes you to do your job. Whereas a true leader is one who leads out front. You follow him. But in order to be a good leader, and you know this in leadership skills, you have to be a servant first. You have to know how to serve. So that's why I remember reading an article one time about Vietnam, and, And the ones that the soldiers would follow the best in Vietnam was the sergeant that who had been there. He'd been in the jungle. He knew what was going on. And then the lieutenants would show up. And no offense if you were a lieutenant, but the lieutenants, I'd read the story, the lieutenants would show up, and they didn't have any battle experience at all. But they came out of school, and here they come. And they'd start telling the soldiers what to do. We're going to go do this. We're going to do that. And all the soldiers would turn to the sergeant and say, "Sarge, is that what we're going to do? Because if we go do what this LT wants us to do, he's going to kill us." Why? Why would they turn to him? Because he was their shepherd. And he didn't just drive them. He led them. And a good shepherd goes among his sheep, and he watches over them, and he leads them, and he cares for them, and he understands their every need. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know about our God? That he understands every part of our need. He understands what we're going through. And in the message that I shared on Friday at the funeral, I was overwhelmed by 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and on. What's that moment going to be like when Jesus returns? We call it the rapture, second coming, however you want to term that thing, but it's going to be an incredible moment. In one brief moment, graves are going to open up. There's going to be Michael the archangel, the greatest angel besides Lucifer that God created, is going to come through the clouds. What a picture. I don't know how many of you have ever watched the Independence Day. Do you remember that when it came out? Okay. And I remember when the spacecraft came through the clouds, remember? And all of a sudden, here comes the nose of this thing out of this gigantic crowd, and everybody's freaking out. Okay, you know how my mind works, right? You going with me on this one? Ready? Okay. I picture Michael the archangel as he comes through the atmosphere of our planet, shouting his head off, "The king is arriving." Can you imagine what that's going to be like? And then there's going to be this gigantic trumpet call of God. They said that when it's the Old Testament concept of it is in Exodus chapter 19, when the children of Israel just left Egypt and they're on their way to the promised land. Of course, you know, they kind of got lost on the 215 and the 15 interchange. They couldn't figure out which side to be on. You ever done that? And so they're a little lost out there, and they go to Mount Sinai, and God shows up in Exodus 19. And it says that the mountain shuddered, it tremored. It literally shook them. And God says, "Moses, I want you to come on up." And Moses turned to the people and says, "Okay, come on, let's go up and see God." And they're all like, "You got to be out of your crazy mind. We're not going anywhere." And then God tells Moses, "Okay, make sure that the people don't touch the mountain at all." And they're like, "No problem, I'm not touching that mountain." Thunder and lightning up on top. I mean, God had arrived, and they knew it. And one day Jesus is going to come again. And I'm telling you something, the world's going to know it. There's going to be an angel that's going to come out of nowhere, and he's going to be shouting his head off, "The king is arriving." And this trumpet sound that's going to blast is going to rock this planet. And it says, "The dead in Christ are going to rise first." Wow. As I read that, and it reminded me of how God loved us so much that he guaranteed that one day, even though we might die in Jesus, we're going to be with him. We're going to be with him. We're going to be with him. Why? Because he's a shepherd that loves us and cares about us. And he wants us to be a part of his life each and every day. We messed up in Genesis 3 at the garden. We lost it. But God didn't leave us and go off some other planet or some other universe. He stuck around and he said, "One day, I'm coming back for you." And he came back in the person of Jesus. And Jesus offered us eternal life, a relationship with him. And he wanted to be his people's shepherd. So in John chapter 10, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to John chapter 10. Jesus is now making this incredible proclamation about what did it mean to be a good shepherd. Now, you got to realize that Judaism, legalism, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were all what we would call shepherds, but they did it because of taking advantage of people's lives. And they were trying to get the people to understand, I'm the only way you're going to get into heaven, you must follow me. And they became what we call rabbis. And if you followed a certain rabbi, you followed their teaching, you followed their understanding, you followed their way of life, in hopes that that shepherd was going to get you into heaven. That's what was going on during the time of Jesus. You know, we have that today, don't we? We got all kinds of people that say, if you do it my way, you're going to get in. And the truth of the matter is, we've had a lot of false shepherds. We've had a lot of people that have led us astray. And we're reaping the effects of that in our world today. It's hard today. People are not following pastors anymore. They're not following shepherds anymore. They don't trust us. And in a way, I guess I don't blame them. I don't blame the fact that people don't trust us anymore. There was a day when you could trust a pastor to be who he is, and that what he says is what he does. We were on vacation a couple, three, 4 years back, and one of the people that was with us, their very axle on their fifth wheel moved, shifted. It all broke and all came apart, and we ended up in some little something spring town in the middle of nowhere. And here's this guy. We found this guy who had a machine shop, had everything we needed, but he had to go to a special dinner that his wife said, you will be at this dinner at 6 o'clock. I'll never forget, his name is Patrick. And we weren't done fixing this trailer. And this old guy, I mean, he'd been around, I think he had World War II stuff in his shop. And I'll never forget, he turned to me and he said, I have to go to this dinner. And I said, well, Patrick, we're not done yet. We really need to finish this up. And he says, well, I'll never forget, well, if you can't trust a pastor, then who can you trust? Wow. And so I guaranteed him that when he got back, everything was going to be in order. We cleaned the shop, put all his tools away, swept his floor, had everything going. Should have seen the look on his face when he came back. I really think he was shocked that we were still there. We hadn't ripped him off, and we cleaned up the place for him. Because we live in a world today that doesn't trust shepherds. It doesn't trust preachers. That's the world we live in. That was the world of Jesus' time. And when Jesus shows up in John chapter 10, these people were used to having men who had led them astray and weren't honest with them and didn't care for them as a good shepherd should care for them. They just didn't. And Jesus now begins to promote to them and to give to them a hope, a relationship that they could have with the eternal God. And that's John chapter 10. So you ready? Got it? Let's read it together. Then I want to come back and take a look at what it's saying. He says in verse 41 of 9, so just so you can continue the thought, Jesus says, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin, but now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. He's talking to the Pharisees who were the shepherds of the people. And now he goes on and continues the story. He says, I tell you the truth, John chapter 10, verse 1, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, he is what? Say it out loud. He's a robber. He's a thief and a robber. But the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. So there's a right way and a wrong way to do this. Verse 3, the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. I love that verse. I call this the guardians. This is the guardian. Okay? He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. That's a good shepherd. A good shepherd knows his flock. And when he had brought them out his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because, why? They know his, say it, voice. They know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. If you underline your Bible, underline that verse. Okay? If you got your iPad, mark that, make it red. Okay? They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Man, you could preach all day on that one, couldn't you? If we understand our shepherd and we know how much he loves us and cares for us, that means we recognize his voice. Do you recognize the voice of your Savior, your shepherd? That when he speaks to you, you know the difference between what is right and what is wrong? We're living in a world today, we don't even have common sense anymore. Huh? We've lost our common sense. We're losing our way. And the church is beginning to lose its way because it doesn't spend time with the shepherd. We don't know his voice anymore. We can't hear him anymore. We hear so many other things. So many other things are distracting us. We're not supposed to do that. Verse 6, Jesus used the figure of speech, but they didn't understand what he was saying. So he explains it. I love that. Therefore, Jesus says again, let's try this one more time. I can just see him. All right, I can see in your eyes. You're not getting this. Let's try this one more time. Everybody paying attention? Ready? Okay, we're going to try this again. Here he goes. I tell you the truth. I love the old King James. Verily, verily, I am the gate for the sheep. Got it? Got it. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the people who thought they were the good shepherds. And he says, no, you're just a bunch of thieves and robbers. Wow. Yeah. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and he will go out and he will find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it how much? How much? To the full, abundant, to the full. My relationship with the shepherd causes me to have a full life. Anything else steals my life. Anything else that I allow to lead my life is going to lead me down a path that is not going to give me full life. A relationship with the good shepherd gives me a full life. Any other relationship steals life. Did you see that? Yeah. I'm the good shepherd, verse 11. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. Of course not. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he hightails it out of town. They're not interested in fighting for you. They don't care about your life. They care about their own life. So when he sees the wolf, he runs, and then the wolf attacks the flock and he scatters it. The man runs away because he's just a hired guy and he cares nothing. He could care less about the sheep. He was only there to get a paycheck. How much do you want me to talk about that one? Yeah. I have the privilege sometimes to teach a course for the young men and ladies that are being ordained in the Christian Missionary Alliance, our denomination. And I get to teach them eschatology, of course. You know, I don't get to teach them on leadership. I don't get to teach them on the Holy Spirit. I have to teach them on eschatology. So I have a lot of fun with them. I blow their minds. And a lot of these young men are coming into ministry wondering how they're going to make ends meet. Because unfortunately, and I just want to brag on you for a moment as a church. You've been so good to us and our staff. You've blessed us in so many wonderful ways financially. But you need to realize there's a lot of pastors today who are not financially doing well. But they feel the call of God on their life to shepherd the flock that God has given to them. And from week to week to week to week, they struggle. They don't know if they're going to make it. Their wife has to go work. They rely totally on that. I remember those days when Patty and I, my wife and I, first went into ministry. If it hadn't have been for her skills and her abilities, we would have never had health insurance. We would have never had health insurance. We had two babies. We were in ministry, feeling God called us to do what we're doing today. But I remember those days. I can remember after we pay our car payment, our insurance payment, rental of the home, there wasn't a whole lot of money left in the bank. I can remember those days. There's a lot of pastors like that. And these young men are coming out of a world that's telling them, make the almighty dollar. Make sure you get a package deal. So can you imagine a pastor, a young pastor? He's out of seminary, comes to a church, and he says, all right, what's my package deal? And they say, your package deal is you get to preach every Sunday. And they're asking, well, what about my retirement? Do I get a 401k? How many weeks of vacation do I get paid? That's how they're coming into the ministry today. And can I just say, rightfully so. Why? You do the same thing, don't you? Absolutely. When you go look for a new job, what's one of the first things you have to negotiate with them? Pay and benefits, right? Because you can't make it without that. You can't. It'd be catastrophic in your family if one of your members of your family got cancer and you didn't have health insurance. Can you imagine? You'd be done. You'd be done. So these young men are coming into ministry and they're struggling. They're struggling. But they feel the call of God on their life. But there are shepherds that Jesus says in his time and in our time today who they're taking advantage of the flock. And Jesus says, a good shepherd doesn't do that. He said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, verse 14, and they know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. Okay, but I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. In other words, there's other people that are buying into what I'm teaching, Jesus says. And they want to be a part of the kingdom of God. The reason my Father loves me is that because I lay down my life. Only, I love this part, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. And this command, I received this from my Father. What power, what authority Jesus had as a shepherd. At these words, the Jews again were divided, and many of them said, he's demon-possessed. Remember that terminology? That was big time in chapter 8. And he's raving mad. I love that. Why are we listening to this knucklehead? But the other said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can demons open the eyes of the blind? Remember chapter 9? Yeah. Let's pray for a second. Ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, just help me to make this clear to your people. Thank you for loving us today. Thank you for your word and the power of and the authority of it. Just may it hide in our hearts and give us truth and give us hope, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So what's the purpose of this story? I think the simple thing, the purpose of the first thing is that there is a sheep pen. There is a sheep pen. And there's only one way to get in. And I know that goes against our PC culture today. I know that there's so many people that said there's so many different avenues, there's so many different ways to get to God. God is such a big God. Why do we limit him? Why do we only say that? Why do you say your way is the only way? Well, first of all, it's not me saying it's my way is the only way. Okay, let's just make that plain and clear. But if you go by the teachings of Jesus, Jesus says, listen, there's only one way into this pen. There's only one way into the kingdom of God. And he makes that really clear. The sheep must follow the shepherd in order to get in. Why? Because there's a watchman. There's someone standing at the gate of this pen making sure that only his sheep get in. I have to believe, in my terminology, that's the Holy Spirit of God. And he's making sure the right ones get in a relationship. See, there's security in that. And the ones that recognize the voice of the shepherd, they're going to follow him. Now, some are going to try and be shepherds. Some are going to want to get us to come into their pen and be a part of who they are. And we have so many different religions today, so many different faiths today that people are saying, my way's the right way, my way's the best way. Hey, if you come, you're going to get this. Hey, if you go with this, you're going to have, you know, multiple whatevers. And we can buy into all that kind of stuff, or we can look at the truth of Scripture and see what Jesus taught, right? Aren't we people of the Word? Yes. Don't we believe that Jesus is the truth? All three of you, that's good. That's good, okay? So the three of us, we're gonna on that. Okay? Don't we believe that Jesus is the truth? Yes. And if Jesus is the truth and what he teaches us is true, then he says there's only one way. Now, he is teaching a kingdom principle. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean by this is Jesus came to teach about a relationship into the kingdom. Paul taught us about a relationship in Christ, what we call salvation today. That when I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me, I believe that he rose again from the grave for me, and I accept that work for me, then I have a relationship in him. But that relationship in Jesus that we call salvation makes me a part of this whole concept of God's wonderful kingdom. And we become kingdom citizens. We become part of God's wonderful kingdom. Yes? But there's only one way to do that. So no matter what kind of shepherd you may choose to follow, if that shepherd teaches anything other than Jesus, and he's the only way in, that is what we call a false shepherd. It's just that simple, people. It can't get any clearer than that, right? So if someone you're listening to, someone you're watching, someone on your a podcast, and they begin to teach you that there's multiple ways, there's multiple relationships, don't watch them. Go back to the scriptures. Go back to what Jesus taught. It's really quite simple. And that's what he taught. Then he says this, there is a gate for the sheep, but he makes sure that no thief can get in or destroy the sheep. Why? Jesus says, I'm that gate, and I'm going to protect you. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful to know that when I have a relationship with the God of eternity, when I have a relationship with the shepherd of my heart and the shepherd of my mind, he says, Terry, when you come into my fold, when you are a part of my group, my herd, I'm going to protect you. Psalm 23. There's going to be an enemy that's going to come and it's going to want to destroy you. But my shepherd has a gigantic rod, and he's going to protect me from the enemy. I don't know what enemy is in your life today. I don't know what's going on in your heart today. I don't know what's going on in your mind today. I don't know what circumstances you may be in today. And let's just you know, be honest about it. Each one of us has our own things that we've gone through this week, right? Amen? We've all done our struggles. We've all had something that's gotten us and is bugging the living daylights out of me. I just want you to know, don't be there. Don't be a part of that. Listen to your shepherd's voice and go be with him. He wants to protect you. He wants to watch over you. Now, you all know the story. You probably read it before, but sometimes we as sheep, we get a little out of hand. Some of us have, it wouldn't be ADD, it would be SADD, sheep, we're missing part, shepherd thing, you know what I'm saying? And some of us have that problem, right? Turn to the person on your left and just shake your head, yeah. Okay, it's not that they have that problem, you're shaking your head, you have that problem, right? We have a tendency not to follow our shepherd. Now, you know what happens when you get a little out of hand. What would a good shepherd do? You want to hear this part? Sometimes he takes that little lamb and he'll break its leg. And then he'll fix it. Does that give you the heebie-jeebies? And then he'll take that lamb and he'll put it up on his shoulders and he'll carry that lamb around for a long time until it heals up. But you know what kind of relationship that lamb now has with that shepherd? Yeah, you think that's his favorite? Yeah, you think? Do you think whenever the shepherd says, all right, guys, here we go, who do you think's the first one there? The one that's limping a little bit. Yeah. Some of us are limping a little bit, aren't we? Because sometimes the shepherd has to get us and, can I just say it, break us? Yeah. Tozer once said, God cannot use a man until he's broken him. God cannot sometimes, let's reverse it. Sometimes I can't hear God until I'm broken. And sometimes in my brokenness is when I have to draw close to something that's going to, ready, prop me up. Who's going to protect me and watch over me because I'm vulnerable. I'm broken. My heart is broken. My spirit is broken. My mind is broken. There's things in my life that life has done a number on me, and I need the shepherd to come and put me on his shoulder and carry me. But I'll tell you something. Once you go through that, I spend a lot more time with the shepherd. I may look stupid, but I'm not, you know. So when I watch you sheep going off doing your thing, I go, "You don't want trust me. You don't want to do that. You don't want to find yourself away from the shepherd, because when he does get a hold of you, it might be painful. Trust me. It might be painful. So sometimes we have to have some brokenness in our life before we find that the shepherd is the one we need to pay attention to and listen to. And Jesus says, listen, I'm here to watch over and protect. Third thing I love, he says, I'm a good shepherd. I love that. He says, I'm a good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Hired hands won't do that. When the enemy comes, they could care less. I had to ask this question, and I only got a few minutes left. Why would a shepherd lay down his life for his sheep? Why would he do that? I mean, let's say he's got 100, 200, 2,000 sheep. What's one missing? Big deal, right? Maybe it's the troubled one. Blessing in disguise. Oops, lost that one. Oh, that's so much better. Okay, everybody, here we go. And all the sheep follow. And there's always that one that always led them. You're not that one, are you? You're not that one that God says, ah, you again. Huh? Tells all the other sheep, just hang on right now. I'll be right back. And here he comes again. Yeah, you're not that one. Don't be that one. So why? Why would a shepherd lay down his life? Well, look at verses 14 to 18. So I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And just the Father knows me and I know the Father and I lay down my life for the sheep. Why would he do that? Because our good shepherd has such a wonderful relationship with his Father. And can I say, Jesus wanted to please his Father. And his Father says, I'm going to send you to this planet to take care of my lost sheep. And Jesus says, I have such a love for my Father that I'm going to lay down my life for my sheep because I love my sheep so much. Please get this. Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to lay down his life for us, even those of us that wander off. That's how much he loved us. He knew us. He saw worth in us. See, you won't die for something you don't see worth in. He saw worth in us, and he was willing to lay down his life. And he did it because he had the authority to do it. A shepherd, a good shepherd, will only act in accordance with the owner of the sheep. He'll only do what the shepherd has told him to do, the main guy. And that's what Jesus did. His Father says, I want you to go and lay down your life. In verse 18, it says, no one takes it from me. It says, I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay down, and I have the authority to take it up. And this is a command that I received from my Father. What does that tell me? Some key things I want to lay with you as we finish up. Jesus laid down his own life. Yeah, we nailed him to the cross. Sure. But he allowed it to happen. And though we thought we'd done away with him, he came back. Yeah. And though we may have tried to say that Jesus' death was a hoax, but you have to realize this, Jesus died on his own terms, not ours. Jesus had the legal and right authority to not only die, but rise from the grave. He had the power to do that. And I ask the question, why did Jesus choose to die? Why? You ready? Here's the answer. Because no one had the power to kill him. No one had the power or the authority to kill Jesus. He had the authority, and he allowed us to kill him. We could have never killed the God of creation in the person of Jesus. We didn't have the power or the authority. Jesus says, I have that. It's been given to me by my Father, and I'm going to choose to die for you. Why? Because I love you. And because I love my Father, and you're worth everything to my Father, therefore you're worth everything to me. And by the authority given to me by my Father, I will let you take my life. And when you do, and you think you've done me in, by the authority given to me by my Father, I'm going to rise again on the third day, and you can't stop me. Now that's authority. That's authority. And that's the kind of shepherd that we have. So I stop and I think about all the things that we go through, all the terrible things that our dear friends are going through today. And I think of the authority of Jesus. He says, I know you. I know you by name. I know what you're going through. And I love you. I loved you so much, I died for you. And by the authority given to me, my Father, I rose again so that you too might have life eternal. I'll close with this. On Friday at the funeral, one of the things that just so impressed me, our Billy got up and talked about the concept of healing. And as you know, she's going through her own chemotherapy. She's done her second round. We'll be doing her third round here pretty soon. And those of you who have been through that, you know exactly, Robbie. You know what she's going through. But she said something that, you know, there are some people who have the right to say something and some who don't. You know, it's sometimes we speak out of turn because we don't know what we're talking about, but we think we do. Here's our Billy up here on the platform, and she said something incredible that I've said many times before but didn't have the force that it had from her lips. She said this: "We prayed that my sister would be healed, and she was. And she was." Now, I've said that many times before. The ultimate healing of God is He takes us home. No more pain, no more suffering, no more drugs, no more sorrow. Ultimate healing? Absolutely. Is that what you pray for? No. No. You pray that God will heal them now, give them life now. Why? So they can be with us now. Because why? We love them. We want them to be with us forever. Right? But sometimes, God's ultimate healing is He takes us home. And as I said, and I listened to that on Friday, I thought Billy Ray would never want to come back. She's been healed. She's in the presence of God. How did that happen, that we would have such hope and such peace about such an event? Because there was a shepherd one day who came to this planet and said, "I love you so much, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to give you hope. And though you may die," He said, "you will live. And you'll live with me forever." That's a good shepherd. That's our Jesus. I hope you know Jesus. I hope He's your shepherd. I hope you have a wonderful relationship with Him. I know you're going through some things. I know you are. We're praying for you. We care about you. But I want you to know there's someone who cares about you so much more than we could ever. His name is Jesus. He's a good shepherd. He knows you. He cares about you. He wants to walk you through this. Listen to His voice. When He cries out to you and you're getting a little lost, come on back. Hang out with Him. He cares about you. Isn't that a great shepherd? Praise God for that. Amen? Amen. As we go to prayer this morning, I invite the men to come forward and just remember that God is so good to us. He's so faithful to us in every moment of every part of our lives. If nothing else, I just want you to get that today, all right? Let's pray together as we continue our time of just worshiping God. Father God, I thank You for these people here today. I know some of them. I know some of the things that they're going through, but there might be someone else in this audience right now that just needed to hear that You are a good shepherd and that You care about them. Now, Lord, there might be someone here today who didn't know that. And maybe for the very first time, they heard that You love them enough that You die for them and rise again and give them hope eternal. And maybe this moment right now, this day, they need to invite You to be a part of their lives. And God, I thank You that You love them too. We just again commit our dear friends who are going through some difficult times today, God, that You would bless their lives. Help them to draw close to You, find strength in You, find peace in You, to be overwhelmed by Your greatness and Your goodness. And Lord, we just want to tell You, we love You so very much. Thank You for shepherding our lives. Forgive us from the times we run away. Help us to always stay close to You, Lord. Oh, Father, I thank You for this wonderful church. The joy it is to pastor it and to be a part of it. Service of so many in this place. Thank You for the faithfulness of Your people as we give every week so that this place might continue to do the work You've called us to do. Bless, I pray. Use us. Guide us through this week. May everything we do, everything we say, our actions, our attitudes, be ones that reflects the goodness of our great shepherd, Jesus. In His name we pray.